As I move around Christian circles, when people talk about mental health and especially depression, I often hear some variation of this idea. Your faith isn't strong enough, or why don't you pray more about it, or you're not thinking about the right things. If you've been with me since the launch of this podcast, you know that I'm a firm believer in prayer, so I'm not going to sit here today and tell you not to pray. What I will do is explore why only recommending prayer for mental health challenges such as depression can be dangerous. Hey, sister friend, welcome to the Shades of Trauma Healing podcast. Do you want to overcome the wounds and impacts of childhood trauma that are holding you back in life? Do you want to get unstuck, begin thriving, and confidently living God's best in all areas? I'm Jenny L., a certified clinical trauma specialist, life coach, trauma thriver, and most of all, a daughter of God living loved and on purpose. In this podcast, I'll share trauma education, healing strategies, along with biblical applications and motivational stories to support you in your journey toward trauma healing and thriving. So grab your journal, settle into your favorite spot, and let's begin. Let me start by defining what I'm talking about when I say depression, because we go about life day after day. We have a sad day and we say, oh, I'm so depressed. What I am talking about here is depressive episodes where you experience the low moods and sadness for a period of time. So there is intense sadness, low mood. You lose interest and pleasure in activities that would normally bring you joy. I'm talking here about the core symptoms of depressive disorders, such as major depressive disorder or MDD. Depressive episodes do not look the same for everyone, and they can vary in duration, severity, they can vary in frequency, or even from person to person. To be officially diagnosed with depression, a person must have had symptoms for most of the day, nearly every day, for at least 2 weeks, and one of the symptoms must be a depressed mood or a loss of interest or pleasure in most activities. So I just want to make it clear that this is what I'm talking about. Why am I talking about this topic? Because depressive episodes can significantly impair daily functioning and quality of life. If you're experiencing depressive symptoms, you need to seek support from a mental health professional who can provide appropriate treatment. This may include therapy, medication, it could be lifestyle changes, or it could be support from loved ones. I know when I was going through my depressive episode about 10 years ago for a circumstantial situation, I was sleeping 12 to 14 hours a day. I was depressed. I didn't get formally diagnosed, but based on this definition, it lasted for more than 2 weeks. I did not just sit and pray about it. Prayer was part of my process because, you know, at 3 a.m. in the morning when it's just you and God, you cry out to God. And when I was feeling better and was not sleeping as much, I went into therapy. I got help for what I was dealing with at the moment. If you're wondering if this is showing up for you, what depressive episodes would look like, here are some of the symptoms. As I mentioned, it's persistent sadness or empty mood, and the key word here is persistent. You have a loss of interest or pleasure in activities that you used to enjoy. You may experience changes in your appetite or in your weight. Either you eat more or you eat less. There could be sleep disturbances, insomnia, or oversleeping. Oversleeping was my thing. Then you can have fatigue or loss of energy. Even though you might be sleeping 12 hours a day, you're still tired when you're awake. Then there are feelings of worthlessness or excessive guilt. You have difficulty concentrating, making decisions, or even remembering things. There is irritability or restlessness, and there can be thoughts of death or suicide. Now, when someone is experiencing these symptoms, the last thing they need is to be blamed for what they are experiencing because they didn't pray enough. they don't need to feel like their faith isn't strong enough at this time. They probably already feel so weak emotionally to begin with. They don't need to know or think that something is wrong with them or they have sinned, which is why they're experiencing depression. Believe it or not, a lot of people still think this way, and it just hurts me to know that these words are even said. The funny thing is, if someone has a broken arm, if they have meningitis or even the flu, I rarely hear people say they got the flu because they aren't praying enough. I don't know why lack of prayer or faith seems to be the go-to when it comes to mental health. There are many reasons why people may struggle with depression. And depression is caused by a combination of genetic, biological, environmental, and even psychological factors. And just as we are all different, the specific cause of a depressive episode will vary from person to person because it's such a complex interplay between all of these common factors. I want to go a little bit into the different factors just so you have a better understanding for yourself and if you are supporting someone who is experiencing or usually goes through the depressive episodes. The first factor I want to look at is the biological factor, and this can include imbalances in neurotransmitters, and the neurotransmitters are the chemical messengers in the brain. Chemicals like serotonin or dopamine, they all play a role in depression. And in addition to that, changes in the brain structure and functions, such as hormone imbalances and things like your genetic predispositions, can also contribute to symptoms of depressive episodes. So this is something that you have no control over. It's in your body. Yeah, you can seek medication and so forth, but what I mean by you don't have control over it is that you can't think your way through a biological factor. Then there are psychological factors. Definitely personality traits, your coping style, if you have negative thinking patterns, they can all increase the risk of experiencing depressive episodes. Then there is traumatic or stressful life events, such as the loss of a loved one, a divorce, abuse, financial difficulties, other relationship problems. These can all trigger depression if you're already predisposed and susceptible. We have genetic factors. We know that depression can run in families, which means that the genetic component is involved in this disorder. Individuals with a family history of depression, they may be at a higher risk of experiencing depressive episodes themselves. And this is because of epigenetics. I don't want to sit here and blame epigenetics because it's not the only or sole reason why depression is passed on, but it is definitely a contributing factor that makes you predisposed to depression. Environmental factors, which is the next point I'll talk about, can also play a big role. And what do I mean by environmental factors? This is things like childhood trauma, and this podcast is about childhood trauma, so you already know a lot of the impacts of what you've been through can lead you to depressive episodes. There is chronic stress. You can have religious trauma, exposure to violence or ongoing conflicts. These can all contribute to someone developing depression. We recently went through the pandemic. We had a lot of social isolation. That type of isolation, the lack of social support, that major life change all contributes to increasing the risk of depressive episodes. Something that isn't really talked about often, but is definitely a contributing factor as well, is medical conditions. So if someone is struggling with a chronic illness, they have chronic pain, thyroid disorder, even if they have a neurological disorder, and again, hormone imbalances, this in somebody who is already predisposed to depression could exacerbate the symptoms. So you see, there's a lot more that goes into the development of depression than meets the eye. And I should clarify here that while the factors I mentioned can increase the likelihood of experiencing depression, not everyone who have been exposed to these risk factors will automatically develop depression. As I said before, that the exact cause of depression can vary from person to person, and it's usually a combination of multiple factors rather than one single cause. And because of that, the treatment for depression is just as varied. It typically involves addressing underlying factors through therapy, meditation, lifestyle changes, nutrition changes, support networks, and yes, of course, prayer, but not at the exclusion of investigating the reasons for the depression in the first place. So as I just mentioned about prayer, let's talk a little bit more about that. As Christian women, I know prayer and spirituality are important sources of support and comfort for us. Many women find it very supportive when facing depression. Engaging in prayer or other spiritual practices definitely provides a sense of solace and comfort. It gives you a connection to God, and it provides a reminder of God's strength, how He's worked in the past, how He's healed. You know, as you rely on His promises, it can renew your faith and so forth. All of this can be very helpful in coping with depressive symptoms. However, because depression is such a complex medical condition that arises from many different sources, if your depression is not lifting after making changes to your lifestyle, engaging in prayer, and so forth, then it is necessary to get more details on why you are experiencing depression by seeking professional help. Prayer is a very valuable way to cope. However, it is not typically sufficient as a standalone treatment for moderate, prolonged, or even severe depression. Depending on your cause of depression, interventions such as cognitive behavioral therapy, interpersonal therapy, medication, and support groups, for example, I've mentioned support a lot of times because isolation does not help with the symptoms. So these can all be ways to support you alongside prayer. I hope it goes without saying that, in my opinion anyway, it's okay to seek help from both religious or spiritual sources and mental health professionals to address depression comprehensively. This is the approach I take with my clients who do practice a particular religion. I know there is a huge stigma in Christian communities when it comes to mental health. You don't want people to know you are struggling because of cultural beliefs, or you don't want to be labeled or diagnosed with anything. You don't want people to look at you or treat you differently. I get it. And while these are real concerns that you have, I also know that you can choose to work through those barriers to get the help that you need and to continue or begin enjoying the abundant life that God has for you. If you or a friend or a loved one is struggling with depression, this is what I want to say to you today. Just praying harder is not always the best course of action. While prayer can be a source of comfort, your depression is not solely due to a lack of faith or effort on your part. This thinking can be very dismissive of your struggles. It can keep you in distress when help is available elsewhere. If you want to spend time in prayer, then ask God which path He wants you to take to address your depression. Second thing I want to mention, if you are hearing the terms, you just need more faith, similar to my previous point, your depression is not a result of inadequate faith. This idea oversimplifies the complexity of mental health issues for the reasons I mentioned above. Yes, you may go through season when you are down because your mind is focused on doubt, doom and gloom, looking at the media, or experiencing a shift in your mindset. But remember, we are talking about seeing symptoms every day, most of the day, for over 2 weeks. If this is what you are experiencing, please, my sister friend, get some additional help. It does not make you weak. It just demonstrates that you are human. You may have been told everything happens for a reason. While this statement may be well intended, it can come across as dismissive of your pain and suffering, and it's essential for you to validate how you are feeling rather than trying to explain it away with any platitudes. God wants you to be healthy. He wants you to prosper. And if you're going through this depressive episode, again, find out why. Look at what is happening. Is it chemically? Is it biologically? Is it something you're focusing on? A mindset shift is needed? Just explore. Be curious about the why and seek help. You may think you shouldn't feel depressed if you trust God. Again, depression is not a sign of weak faith, and experiencing mental health struggles does not mean that someone lacks trust in God. Elijah was a man who prayed like no one else, and he was depressed for a while. So again, it is okay to be human and deal with the human frailties that come with our bodies, our genetics, our environment, and as a result of thousands of years of sin. Do you think that if you just read your Bible more, that would be the answer? Reading the Bible can provide comfort and encouragement for sure. Yet it's not always a substitute for professional investigation and treatment for depression. You need to know the source of your depressive symptoms, the severity of it, and the best options to address it, alongside finding comfort in the Word of God. On some level, you might believe, I should be happy because I'm a Christian. This is a statement that can be distorted. Ask yourself this, does it mean Christians should be happy all of the time? Are Christians immune from the effects of sin and death in this world? We all know that's a no. Christians go through their ups and downs like every other human being on this planet. Yes, we have Jesus to run to for comfort, and we do. And because we are in this sinful world, again, we are affected by all the factors I mentioned today. So remember that depression can affect anyone, regardless of your religious beliefs. Please do not avoid or minimize your struggles by thinking your belief or faith should automatically shield you from experiencing mental health challenges. What I want you to take away today is that it is essential to approach conversations about depression with empathy, and I mean empathy for yourself or for someone else who you know may be struggling. Extend understanding to yourself or the other person, and encourage a willingness to learn in yourself and the other person. You need to acknowledge and validate your feelings and get the support you need. And of course, I always encourage you to seek professional help when you need it. The Bible talks about iron sharpening iron, not forsaking the fellowship of others. We need community. We need each other. So if you're struggling, please reach out for the help that you need. I have an announcement for you, but before I go to the announcement, let me just remind you to come connect with me over in the Facebook community, Heal Childhood Trauma. Every episode, I put the link in the show notes, or you can search the name in Facebook and you would find us there. You can also subscribe to be a podcast insider, a Shades of Trauma Healing podcast insider, to get more updates on what is happening in the podcast. And you can email me with your thoughts, comments, and let me know how you are enjoying the show. So the announcement is, well, I kind of set you up there. I'm sorry. I am announcing that on May 2nd, I will be making an announcement about changes coming to the podcast. So I wanted to do that early enough so that you look out for it, because May 2nd is a Thursday, which isn't the regular day that I release episodes. So as you continue to listen, stay tuned for the announcement coming on May 2nd. Blessings, my friend. Before you go, sister friend, did this podcast episode encourage, inspire, or teach you something new? If so, would you be so kind as to share it with another friend who needs help to overcome her childhood trauma? And don't forget to hop over to Apple Podcasts to leave a rating and a written review for the show. This way, the show can reach more sisters who need to hear it. Thank you for listening, and know that I am cheering for your healing. I'll be back next week, so until then, take time to breathe and be blessed.